Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Oh, let's bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's a faithful God. He's in here. I said he's a faithful God. Is he not? He's a faithful God. Is he not? He's a faithful God. We give him the praise. We give him the glory. Thank you for joining us for our service today, wherever you are joining us from, online. Those of you that are here with us today, thank you for being here. Please have your seats. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Just excited. Like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come and let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Okay, so the last couple of weeks, our pastors have been blessing us. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a blessing. I want to take a couple of minutes to just highlight some of the things that we have received over the last 2 weeks. What a mighty blessing those have been. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. I like your smile, Minister Paul. It's golden. Somebody take a photo of that smile. I don't see it a lot. I need to keep memorabilia of this one. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I love it. I love it. All right. So, Pastor Kermit ministered so powerfully. The Lord keep them back on their way from Cincinnati today. And everyone who's traveling, the Lord keep them today. Amen. He ministered on keeping the burning alive, keeping the passion alive, really. And that's really his focus, keeping the passion. The passion from the time of the fast. All those things that we did with the Lord, you know, when we started the year. Keeping that passion alive. Keeping that, the burden of entering into the things that the Lord has promised us.
Amen.
Keeping them alive. Keeping the fire burning. Amen. I love that he talked about the inheritances that we have been given. Amen. From Psalm 16. Glory to God. Amen. This is a year of practicality. I like it. Amen. There's go and there's do. You receive the vision, you receive the promise, and then you go out and you carry it out. And I love it. He even cited from the "You shall not go out empty" book.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will take my inheritance. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Oh yeah. I see you guys are in the flow.
Oh, yeah.
All right. All right. I'll take my inheritance. I love it. Amen. I love it. It talk about the revival that is coming. Glory to God. Some of the things the Lord is doing on the campuses and things, that's wonderful. The things that the Lord is doing in our life. One of the most powerful things he said was identifying your purpose in life and living for that purpose. I loved it. Amen. Then Pastor Muiwa ministered on your tomorrow is determined today. I love it. I love it. Our lives today reflect the seeds that were sown yesterday. God will do a new thing. The past is gone and it cannot be changed. But there is so much you can do today. Isn't that powerful? You can't do anything about the past, but there's a lot you can do today to determine your tomorrow, right? And the seeds you sow today, the steps you take today will determine the harvest of tomorrow. Don't dwell on the past. Move forward. Don't let your past keep you stagnant. Now is action time. Faith is now. Mm-hmm. The question is, what seeds of faith will you sow today? Your present is your bridge between the past and the future. This present is a season of opportunity. I love that.
Yes.
This present is a season of opportunity. You can see the opportunities, can't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. And this Easter season, we are taking hold of those opportunities too.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. The responsibility to change your future lies in your own hands.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The future belongs to God, so we've got to trust Him, but we are responsible for making that future a reality by the things we do today. I love that. No word from God lacks power. Luke 1:37. Right? That's what Mary said. No word from God lacks power of fulfillment. Every word you receive from the Lord, He has the power to be fulfilled, but that's when you connect with it in faith. Amen. God loves us so much. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yeah. A lot of that we're studying on Wednesdays. It's a very different one. This love revolution. And you can't give out what you don't have. Mm-hmm. Some people think, oh, I already know the love of God. I know a lot about it. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, truly. People say, oh, I know God loves me. That's not all there is to it. There's so much more to the love of God than that.
Yes.
I love this. He said, God is intentional about you. You must be intentional about God. I love that.
Yes.
We shouldn't be on autopilot in our relationship with God. Mm. How do you get on autopilot? Yeah, that's one of it. You just get familiar and everything is just... You know what autopilot is, right? Like, you're just driving somewhere. You don't even think about it. You don't engage your faculties. You just keep driving, and it's almost like the car is driving itself. And then you arrive somewhere. You say, how did I get here? When your relationship with God is on autopilot, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Because that means in real time, you are not hearing from God. Right? You're just going. If God says turn left, you don't hear it. Because you are so used to going right. You are an autopilot. But right now, God wants you to go left, but you can't hear it, right? You just do it the way you've always done it. Hmm? Children have a little symptom of something. The first place you go is the medicine cabinet. Autopilot. You haven't prayed yet. You got something in the mail. You haven't asked God, how do you want me to deal with this? The first thing you call the person you know. Oh, this person, you know. Autopilot. Thank God he closed out by telling us how we can ensure that doesn't happen. I love it. Prioritize your time with God. Be alert. Amen. I love that. Make sacrifices for the Lord and His people. Talked about Esther. I love that. Praise God. That was a glorious service. Glorious message. Amen. And Pastor Ola had 2 weeks to minister on this powerful message. The shift is here and I am helped. I love it. The shift is here, I'm helped, means that spiritual change, a shift has already begun, and when it comes, God's help, when it comes with God's help. That word shift refers to moving in a new direction. I love that. I love that. Not autopilot, moving in a new direction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or into a new function. While I am helped emphasizes that God provides immediate support. The prophetic declaration signals a moment of divine transition, acceleration, and support grounded in faith, not in feeling or politics. Glory to God. This was really powerful. She goes on and talks about a supernatural shift does not come with a multitude of people, and talks a lot about the story of Gideon. I love the story of Gideon, especially in talking about how the supernatural works. Glory to God. And on and on. When the shift is here, it marks a new season.
Yes. Yes.
Supernatural shift causes divine acceleration.
Yes.
When the shift is here, you will enjoy divine assistance. God is our ever-present help.
Yes.
when the shift is here, you are helped.
Amen.
Peace and faith will follow you.
Amen.
And there will be no doubt.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I love it. Let's thank God for all these glorious, powerful messages that our pastors ministered to us this month. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Do you have your 2026 confessions? Let's go into the Word of God. Let's spend some time in the Word of God today. I love it when they hand over the service to me by 12 o'clock, so I have at least one full hour. Glory to God. I don't like it when they give me the service by 12:30. And I'm rushing. I can't even focus. Glory to God. And, you know, the Lord always has so much to say. And we have to follow the Holy Spirit in determining which of the so many things He's given us we need to say. When you are rushing, you can't determine that. You're an autopilot. I'm already helped. I hope you are helped. I am already helped. I'm under the anointing. I hope you are helped. You'll be more helped today. Hallelujah. You have that confession? Let's do it together. 2026 confession. Let's go. 2, 3, go. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, passover, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, He neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. There is no one like the God of Israel who rides across the heavens to help me. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath me are His everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before me, and He will say, destroy. I am helped, favored, and blessed. The Lord is my saving strength and the shield of my life. My help comes from Him who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip or be moved. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord preserves me from all evil in my going out and in my coming in. He is my protective shade and my covenant covering. I sit fearlessly and confidently at the throne of God's unmerited favor, and I soak up His mercy and grace. Praise God. I am helped, favored, and blessed. This is my year of the incredible. My incredible praise to my incredible God is provoking incredible miracles in my life. Strange things, remarkable things, extraordinary things, astonishing things, and unimaginable things are all lined up for me in this season. The story and glory of my life today will be improbable, amazing, unthinkable, and uncommon. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2026 is my year of non-stop laughter, celebrations unlimited, unending festivities, and round-the-clock jubilation. Adversity will expire and I will recover. God will have the last laugh and the final say. I'm laughing today, tomorrow, and the day after. Look what the Lord has done. There's no expiration on His promise now. Sorrow is destroyed. Failure is forgotten. Anxiety is vanquished. Fear is defeated. Setback is sent back. Bad news is stale news. Satan is conquered. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, laugh with me. You guys know how to laugh. In this season, it's shifting. And there is a lifting up for me. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. And He sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. He's shifting and there is a lifting up for me. God said, he's given me treasures hidden in the darkness and secret places of the earth. He's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From bitter waters to in Marah to pleasant streams in Elim. He's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From forsaken to Hephzibah. From rejected to Beulah. He's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From beggar to ruler. From loner to owner. From supplanter to contender. In this season, he's shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible and I do the impossible. This is my season of opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted, and to set the captives free. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority, and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped, the curse is broken, and my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. I speak life. Lazarus, come forth. I speak life to you. Dry bones, come alive. I speak life to every part of my body and my mind. Come alive. I speak life to you. Cells, vessels, nerves, tissues, organs, systems, limbs, and joints, come alive in Jesus' mighty name. I speak life to you, dreams, womb, ventures, investment, treasures, properties, ministry, family, partnerships, come alive in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, speak life. I speak life to God's people. I speak life over God's purposes. I speak life over this vision. I speak life over all that the Lord has prepared ahead of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover. Passover, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over here. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go together to Luke chapter 5. Let's go back there. This is the theme I have been ministering in this season of the year, Luke chapter 5. And I've called it unconventional, incredible, supernatural. You all know, incredible, unconventional, and supernatural. Amen. I have quite a bit to say today, but I'm leaning on the Holy Spirit to help me say exactly what he has prepared and what you are able to receive. I hope you came in excited to receive the word of God. Amen. Everything begins with the word. That I really love that autopilot thing. You know, one of the ways you make sure you don't get in autopilot is every time God is speaking, you listen. You pay attention. In every moment, you don't become familiar. Like, oh, yeah, I know that. I've heard that before. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I heard that before. Yeah, we know that. No. Every time. We sit in his presence like Mary did. You remember Mary and Martha? Right? Glory to God. By the way, I thank God for our Deaconess Maria, our Deaconess Mary, and her sweet, glorious, gracious ministry. Glory to God. I love it. Amen. I love it. I love that sweetness. This was one of the things that Mary did, you know. There was a lot of possible distractions. Amen. In that message Pastor Ola preached, this is one of the things you said about Gideon too. He said one of the reasons God doesn't use multitudes is because sometimes there is a lot of distractions with multitudes. It's so true. But every time we come before the word of God, there is a focus about us. That focus is what enables us to get the best that God has for us. So let's go through it. I'm going to move quickly, but I'm not going to rush. I'm going to try to get to as much as the Lord has given me today. All right, let's go. Luke chapter 5 from verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. You know, these people were desperate. Whatever it takes, we're going to get our friend in the presence of Jesus. Whatever it takes. I love it. Whatever it takes. Glory to God. And when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. He said unto him, man, your sins are forgiven. You go all the way down to verse 25. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Can you put that verse 26 up for us, please, in the Amplified? Thank you. And overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all. And they recognized and praised and thanked God. And they were filled with and controlled by reverential fear. And they kept saying, we have seen wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today. You will see incredible things this year. Amen. I say you will see incredible things this year. Amen. Glory to God. Well, if you want to walk in the supernatural of God, you want to experience His incredible, unconventional, and supernatural, we have identified, I know I gave you six of them. A few weeks after that, I haven't been here since then, I added a seventh. But I'm just going to rush through those seven things and go back and focus on being aggressive with your faith, the lifestyle of faith, which is really what has been my focus lately. These are some of the things that we need to have. We need to understand that God specializes in doing incredible and impossible things, using unconventional methods and insignificant people like Gideon, who believe him and who take him at his word. Number two, we must be aggressive with our faith. Faith in God is the tool God gave you to bring the world to his knees and to conquer it. Number three, vision is crucial. You will never rise above what you can see, and you will not advance beyond what you can see in your spirit. Number four, engage incredible praise. Always engage incredible praise. Number five, look forward, look upward, look inward. Number six, use spiritual laws to your advantage. And finally, number seven, I love it, opportunity knocks. Engage the strategy of wisdom. There is an opportune time for every supernatural shift and divine intervention. All right, let's go back and focus a little bit more on the lifestyle of faith. Again, this is the one area, it's one of the most important areas. You see, it's the very first one after we talk about how God still works in supernatural ways. This is one of the most important areas that we must learn not to take for granted, our faith walk. Your faith in God will make a God, small G-O-D, out of you. Remember in Acts chapter 14, please put that up for me in the King James. In Acts chapter 14 from verse 8, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was ministering somewhere, and there was a crippled man in front of him. And among so many people there, he looked at that man. The Bible says he saw his faith. You can see faith. You can see faith. Faith takes a great focus. Usually when faith is present, there's focus. That's why you can see faith. Because faith is focused on the ability of God in the moment. The Bible says, look at that scripture right there. The same, this was a crippled man, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith. How did he know he could see that faith? He saw that he had faith. Same thing we just read in Luke chapter 5. What verse is that? Where the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. What verse is that? Huh? Verse 20. Put that up. Go back right there. Thank you. Luke chapter 5, verse 20. And when he saw their faith, when he saw their faith, God can see faith.
Yes.
It's not just what you are saying or singing. God can see faith. In the same way, this is why your faith in God has the ability to make a God, a small G-O-D out of you. Your faith in God can bring the world and its obstacles to his knees, because the world and its obstacles can see faith. When faith shows up, the elements around it, they can see it. It's not only God who can see it. That's why in the midst of the storm, when Jesus spoke and said, "Peace, be still," all those elements obeyed. Why? They could see faith. Some other person who didn't have that focus of faith at that moment could say the same thing. You know how many times you try to say the same thing. Nothing happens. I say, "Kai, why is it not working? Why is it not working?" Because those things are not seeing faith. When the world, put that up for me, please. 1 John 5, verse 4 in the message. Your faith in God is what will bring the world to his knees. Everything you deal with in this life, every situation, every problem, every difficulty, every obstacle, whatever you deal with in your life, the thing that will bring them to their knees is your faith in God. It's not how much, how loud you are speaking. Put that up in the message. Thank you for that. 1 John 5:4. Look at it in the message translation. Every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to his knees is what? Come on. Is what? Come on. The conquering power that brings the world to his knees is what? Is how much we are talking? How loud we can speak? How well we are preaching? How good we sing? No! The conquering power that brings the world to his knees is our faith.
Amen.
The conquering power that brings the world to his knees. The world goes down on his knees because of our faith. When you have faith in God, something like might look like a great giant, like a great mountain, like a huge obstacle, but it has to crumble. It has to crumble.
Amen.
When your faith in God is potent.
Amen.
Your faith in God will turn the giants on your path of destiny to little grasshoppers and ants.
Amen.
Your faith in God will turn the giants on your path of destiny to little grasshoppers and ants. You remember the story of Caleb? Is the story of Caleb where the Lord introduced us to the power of believing fully. Believing fully. Not believing partially, not believing temporarily, not believing doubtingly, but believing fully. What does it mean to believe fully? To go all the way. To go all the way.
That's right. Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Even God spoke about Caleb. He singled out Caleb. Put that up for me. In Numbers chapter 14 and in verse 24. God himself, it wasn't just Caleb who spoke. Caleb spoke. He said, you know, the Bible says he stilled the people when they were, all the other spies were sowing doubt and unbelief. That's why you have to be careful who you hang around. Last year we were teaching, recently I was going through some of those messages on renovating your mind, elevating your life. And I remember one of the portions where we were discussing the power of the words you hear. What you hear yourself say and what you hear other people saying. It's very important. You don't know. It's very important who is speaking around you and what you are listening to. All these spies brought all their negative reports. And they were filling the atmosphere with unbelief. And immediately Caleb stilled it. So that's why also, when there's a lot of negativity being spoken in the atmosphere, a person of faith has to speak up. There are times to be quiet. The Bible says there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. There are times to be quiet. There are times to just watch and listen. But there are times when you must speak up. There are times when somebody who believes God must say, no, 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 that's not God. God doesn't work like that. This is the way of the Lord. There are times when a person of faith must speak up and say, no, I believe God. Hallelujah. When there's so much doubt and unbelief in the atmosphere, and people are spouting all sorts of nonsense based on nothing, they have no authority. They have no experience in the supernatural. But they are spouting nonsense. You've got to get up. A person of faith has to live their voice. And not in strife. Not in like, I'm going to fight you or we're having an argument. No, no, no. You've just got to lift up your voice and say, no, that's not God. That's not the way. This is the way the Lord works. The Bible tells us Caleb lifted up his voice and he stilled the people. He stilled them. I'm not sure. That may be... was that verse? This is verse. Can you back up a little bit? Numbers 13. That may be verse 27. I'm not sure. He stilled them. All these people were spouting unbelief. You know, say, yes, they said to Moses, huh? Verse 30. They said to Moses, oh, yeah, you know, we came to the land and you told us, we saw everything you said, but nevertheless, there are giants. We saw Amalekites, we saw Hittites, we saw and Caleb, the Bible says, he spoke up. That's right. He says, shush. Caleb interrupted. Put that up in the King James, please. Thank you. You're doing a great job. Thank you, Emma. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Why? For we are well able. That's the voice of faith.
Amen. Amen.
That's the voice of faith.
Amen.
The voice of faith was not silent in the midst of all the unbelief. Sometimes the unbelief speaks louder. They are the loudest voices you hear. But at some point, you ask the Holy Spirit to help you get that point and you speak up. And you say, no, but that's not God. That's not the word of God. This is what the word of God says. And that's what we should do. And if they want to follow you, let them follow. If they don't want to follow you, go by yourself. How many of you know Christianity is not a popularity contest? You know how many people are going in one direction? Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Your faith in God, it may be just you walking in that direction, your entire family, everybody may be going the wrong way. It may be just you saying, no, this is the way God said we should go. Yeah, that's it. If they want to follow you, let them follow. If they don't want to follow, you stick there. Because you soon see from the story of Caleb, after 45 years, 45 years, do you know what it means to hang around unbelievers and unbelieving people for 45 years? And all the ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs that can happen in 45 years. In 45 days, you know all the ups and downs people can experience. They believe today, they don't believe tomorrow. They want to go today, they don't want to go tomorrow. They are excited today, they are tired tomorrow. This is the life he lived for 45 years. But he never quit on his life of faith. Glory to God. Look at what God said about Caleb. In Numbers 14 and verse 24, look at it right there. He said, Caleb is different. But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went. And his seed shall possess it. Notice, God didn't talk about the other millions of people. He didn't mention them. We talked about them earlier in the scripture. Like, they forget them, they will not make it. But then he focused on Caleb. This my servant Caleb, he had another spirit. Oh, my prayer for you. is that in this year, in this season, your name will be on the lips of God. God will be saying about you, look at my servant. Look at my servant. She has another spirit. He has another spirit. He has another spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God. Faith is not something we do once in a while or whenever we have a need. Mm-hmm. Faith is not something we do once in a while or whenever we have a need. It is not like a policeman's work uniform, which they take off after they leave work. It wasn't in my notes before the policeman walked into the service last week. But after he came, the Lord sent him to be an illustration. So I put it in my notes. Glory to God. You learn from everything. It's not autopilot. Like, you can see in real time. I mean, I was ministering on this subject. Like, faith is not, it's not just something that you do, you know, it's not, so for certain hours you're working in faith, other hours you know, it's not like when you go to work, this is my shift, when you get to work, you put on faith, when you get off work, no. And the policeman walked in, right at that moment. So the Lord gave us very good illustration. And the policeman, when he's on duty, he puts on his uniform. When he goes back home, he lives like a regular civilian. Faith is not like that. The life of faith is not like that. You don't put it on and take it off. Faith is a spirit. Put up for me 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. In the King James, please. Quick. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. We have in the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Faith is not something we do once in a while. Or whenever we have a need, it is not like a policeman's work uniform, which they take off after they leave work. No, faith is a spirit. It is a permanent lifestyle, and it always shows. I love this. We don't outgrow faith.
Yes.
We don't outgrow faith. Like some people say, oh, when I was still a young Christian, I used to really live by faith. But I am very mature now. I am Jim. I don't depend on faith so much anymore. You know, this is the story of many believers. When they came into Christ and they started listening to these messages, it caught their heart. The fire would explode in them. When they hear about faith, when they hear about the power of God, they're excited about it. They are full of passion, like Pastor Kemet said. Keep the passion alive. A lot of believers, you know, when they came, you know, they were young. They said, yeah, I didn't know much then what I was doing. But after they have been there for a few years, they're like, I'm used to it now. I don't need faith anymore. They don't say that, but that's how they act. They never say it because they know, everybody will say there's something wrong with you. But so they won't say it, but that's how they act. He said, I don't depend on faith so much anymore. Some people say, yeah, when I was jobless and poor, I used to have a lot of faith. I used to really depend on faith. When I needed a breakthrough for miracles, some miracles in my life, I used to really walk in faith. You and I know many people like this. You've walked, you've lived, you've interacted. You've known many people like this. If we are being honest, we ourselves have been like this sometimes. When I needed a breakthrough, yeah, I really depended on faith. When I needed a miracle, for many years, I was waiting on God for a miracle. I really, really needed faith. But I am prosperous and I'm blessed now. I have a good job and a great family. I don't need faith so much anymore. No. Faith is a spirit. You don't put it on and take it off. You don't put it on because you have a need. Because some things, you just, God, if you don't do it, God, if you don't do it. That's not, you don't put it on then. And then, when life is good, you know what I mean? You don't pray sweating anymore. We don't need to sweat. Well, we pray, you don't have to pray so much anymore. There's 5 minutes, quick, in the car, just in the parking lot before you go to work, jabba. Right? But there was a time, hours and hours you will pray. Hours, hours and hours and hours. Yeah, I don't need faith so much anymore. There's a time you didn't know people. You didn't have connections. You depended on God for everything. For everything you ask God. God, 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 God. If you don't do it, if you don't do it, it will not be done. God. Now you know so many people. Now you know so many people. You have become fat. You have become fat. You need to lose weight. You have become fat and depended on the world. Right? There was a time when you saw symptoms. God! God! You take the word of promise of healing. You take it, you speak it, you meditate it, you meditate it, you declare it, you go back, you take your medication, you go back, you go back to the word. It's the word, it's the word. You go back, you take your medication, you go back to the word. Now, when you see symptoms, hello, can I speak with Dr. So and so? You don't even pray anymore. This is why God was so impressed with Caleb. He said he had another spirit with him. It was not a short leave. It wasn't just when they needed to bring down the giants that Caleb walked in faith. How about Abraham? Why was Abraham called the father of faith? It wasn't just when he was believing God for the promise of his son. Long after he had the promise of his son, long after the Bible tells us he prospered in everything, one day God came to him. God said, son, he said, Abraham, I want you to go and sacrifice your son, your only son. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Till his last dying days, he's still walking in faith. Yes. He's still saying, God, you are my only source. God, everything I need comes from you. We don't outgrow faith. Faith is a permanent lifestyle and a lifelong journey. Abraham was not just called the father of faith because he believed God for his son, but because even after he was blessed in every area of his life, he continued to walk in faith. Put up for me Hebrews 11 from verse 17 to 19. Let's read this. Long after he had his son, he used his faith to bring that boy back to life, even though he was not dead. God said he should go and sacrifice the boy. And in his mind, Abraham assumed, okay, if this boy is dead, he's dead. I gave him up as a sacrifice to God. But he used his faith to raise him back to life. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Verse 18. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called. Accounting, verse 19, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. By his faith, he received the resurrection of his son Isaac. Abraham was not just a man of faith because for 25 years he was desperately asking God for a miracle of his son. And then after he got the son, all right, I got all I need now. After he prospered, he was rich, he was wealthy, he had everything. He has servants full in his house full of servants. Whatever he needed, all he needed to do was snap his fingers. And he had every need met. He didn't have any need. He didn't stop being a man of faith. The Bible calls him a father of faith. Not just a father of many nations. Father of faith. Because he never stopped walking in faith. We don't outgrow faith. You remember King Asa? This is where we should stop today. Here, I want to answer this question. So how can we keep engaging faith in God so we can keep enjoying his supernatural manifestations in every area of our lives? I want to answer that question. How do we believe fully like Caleb? To be continued. But let's close with Asa today. Glory to God. I actually want us to read a few scriptures regarding Asa, because he shows us why a lot of people lose touch with the supernatural flow. I don't know about you. Well, you know what? Thank you, Holy Spirit. I heard that. Before we read about Asa, let's go and read something that Caleb himself said in Joshua 14. Go back there to Joshua 14. Let's read from verse 6. This is a few verses, but let's read. The Holy Spirit wants us to read it. Joshua 14 from verse 6. Let's read that quick. Hallelujah. This was not at the beginning. This was not a few years in. This is after 45 years of walking with God and believing God fully, completely, satisfying God in the lifestyle of faith. These were the words that came out of the mouth of Caleb. Look at it. Joshua chapter 14. Let's read from verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. We just read that. You remember we just read that. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. We just read it. Nevertheless, verse 8. My brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. You know what? I'm going to show you something real quick here. Caleb is not just creating appearances. He's explaining exactly what happened 45 years before. To the accuracy and the specifics of the words that he used. He said, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me. Just do a quick switch. Go back to when Joshua 14, 8. Go back to Numbers 14. And I think it's verse, I think it may be verse 27 or 28 or something. They themselves, the Bible, they said never. It was those unbelieving spies that used the word nevertheless. And 45 years later, Caleb is repeating it exactly. Because he had a different spirit with him then, and he has a different spirit with him now. He has not changed. All the years and the ups and downs through the valleys, all the there's an answer today. Tomorrow you don't see the answer. There's a breakthrough today. Tomorrow is like the miracle is tarrying. There's open door today. Tomorrow the doors are shut. All through those years of going up and down, up and down, up and down, he never changed. He never changed. Do you see that verse? No, thank you. It's not verse 27. Let me find it real quick. You know, when they came, they said, oh, we saw what you said in Numbers. Is that Numbers? Numbers 14. Oh, yeah, we saw all the, they brought the fruit of the land. They saw everything. Yeah, it's what you said. Nevertheless, there were giants in the land. Numbers 13, it should be actually. Numbers 13, 28. You see this? In verse 27, said, never, and they told him and said, we came into the land that you sent us, and surely flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak, we saw the Amalekites, we saw the Hittites, we saw the Jebusites. Before Caleb said, shush, shush. And when he's recounting this, In Joshua 14, he said to Moses, you remember. You remember the promise that God gave. Verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But for me, I completely follow the Lord my God. It's 45 years ago. It's 45 years ago, folks, not 45 days ago. Do you know what it takes to keep a testimony for 45 years? Do you know what it takes to be on the cutting edge of faith in a world that is full of chaos and unbelief for 45 years? Surrounded by all this negativity, all these unbelieving believers around him. He said, but I completely follow the Lord my God. I pray that will be your testimony. Amen. I say, I pray that will be your testimony. Amen. That 45 years in, you will still be saying, I still have a spirit of faith. I still believe God. I still believe God. My God will not fail. My God will not change. My God will not lose. My God will not quit. I still believe God. And Moses swore, verse 9, on that day, saying, surely the land whereon your feet have trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you wholly, you completely follow the Lord your God. My friends, there's inheritance at the end. Yes. Oh my goodness. If you will not quit believing God, if you will not stop, if you will not change your position, if you will not get in the flow of the world, if you will not change your confession, if you will not stop believing what God told you at the beginning, if you will not stop waking up every day and saying, Lord, I thank you. Your word is so. I trust you. No matter what I see, I believe your every word. If you will not quit on God, my friend, there's an inheritance. To be for you and your children after you, he said. And now, verse 10, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. The Lord, and you know the Lord will keep you alive. He will not only keep you alive, he will keep you ready to receive that inheritance. He will keep you youthful. He will keep you healthy. He will keep you prosperous. He will keep you blessed. He will keep you well connected. The Lord has kept me alive these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And lo, this day I am 85 years old, and yet, verse 11, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was back then, so is my strength today. Hallelujah. For war, but to go out and to come in. My friends, this is after 45 years. He's not sitting on a porch or one cellar somewhere, tired of fighting, tired of running with vision, tired of pursuing. No, he said, I'm still strong today. I'm still as strong as I was 45 years ago. I'm still as young. I'm still as strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that will be your portion. I say, I pray that will be your portion. I pray your faith will not be a shift kind of faith. It will not be a momentary kind of faith. It will not be a temporary kind of faith. If you are young listening to me today, I pray your faith will not just be high school faith. I pray your faith will not just be high school faith, middle school faith. When your parents are always speaking over you, I pray your faith will carry you all the way to college. Your faith will carry you all beyond college. You will continue to speak the word of faith. Long after you are married, long after you have your own children, long after you have your own career, you will continue to speak the word of faith. Ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh.
I'm still as strong, he said. Today, my strength is still as it was back then. He said, verse 12, now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord is with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. At 85, oh. He didn't say my boys will drive them out. He didn't say my little children, my girls will drive. He said, I will drive them out. I, at 85. He didn't say back then, I was very, very aggressive in faith. But, you know, back, I was just 40. You know, like how they say? Yeah. Remember they used to say to me way back then, when I was a very young pastor, he said, one of these days, you get old, all these things you are saying, all this, is what they used to say. He said, all this jim-jim. Or like they say, my mother tongue, all this kole, 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 kole. Say, so you will outgrow it. When you have a little money. And you have a house then. So when you have a house, after you buy a house and you start paying mortgage. My prayer for you. Whatever you have experienced in God, that you will stay hungry. You will say, you will stay perpetually dissatisfied. There is more, I want more in God. I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
He said, I'll go out. I'll be able to drive them out. I myself, I will drive them out, as the Lord said. Verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Hallelujah. Verse 15, and the name of Hebron before it used to be Kirjath Arba. That's the city of the four giants. They used to call that city the city of the four giants. But now they call it Hebron. It's the city of Caleb.
That's right.
City of Caleb. It's my prayer for you. It's that you will not stop. That you will never stop. That you will never quit. Stand to your feet, please. Asa. Hallelujah. Asa. When so many people came against him, so many kings, at the beginning of his journey, he cried out to God, God, you know, I don't know anybody but you. You are the only one I have. How will I ever make it without you? God, God, God. That's what Asa did. And the prophet came. The Bible says they sought the Lord and they prospered. And the prophet came and said to him, Asa, as long as you continue to seek God, as long as you continue, God will never leave you. God would always be with you. You will prosper in all your ways. But the time came. Asa became too comfortable. He started getting in leagues. When somebody threatened him, he didn't go to pray. He didn't go to talk to the Lord. He started looking for, how can I make connections? How can I make connections? How can I make it work out? Who are the people that are... He got into leagues. And God was so upset to him. God sent a prophet. But he was so bloated in his foolishness. Even the prophet that God sent to him, he put the prophet in prison. And when Asa became sick, he would not even seek God. He died in his sickness. He outgrew the faith that got him started. The faith that got him started on his journey became a secondary consideration for him later on in his life. You know why? Because now he's prosperous.
After all, what do I need God for? I have a good job, great bank account, wealth, have an established family. All the children I ever dream of, I have them. Great career. What do I need God for? Even when he got sick, he couldn't ask God. Died in his sickness. My prayer for you today, your journey of faith will be a lifelong journey.
Amen.
Faith for you will not just be a momentary faith.
Amen.
It won't be temporary.
Amen.
It won't be temporary.
Amen.
Your faith will go all the way with God.
Amen.
You will possess your inheritance.
Amen.
You will arrive at your destination.
Amen.
You will receive all the fruits that God has prepared for you.
Amen.
Like Father Abraham, you will get to the end and you will be blessed in every way.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your holy word today. We bless your holy name. We lift you up. We exalt you. We magnify you. Thank you for speaking your word to us today. Lord, you know, we yearn after you more than the greatest things in our lives. You are our number one priority. We look for you more than anything else. It's in you, only in you, that we trust. Everything else will fail. Everything. Everything. And the Bible even says, heaven and earth will pass away. Everything will fail. Everything. But you, your word will abide forever. Not a jot of your word will fall to the ground without it being fulfilled. We hold on to your word, O God. We trust in you. Help us on our journey. Help us today. Help us tomorrow. Help us the day after. Every waking moment, help us remember what you have done in our lives. Help us esteem your goodness. We have seen your goodness. We have seen your goodness. There's no denying it. We have seen your goodness. Help us always remember it came from you. You are the Alpha and you are the Omega. And you are everything in between. We thank you, Father. I bless everyone today under the sound of my voice. I speak the blessing of heaven over them and their families. Like Caleb, they will possess their inheritance.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They will not lose ground to the giant.
Amen.
They will not quit before the miracle arrives.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They will not be swallowed up by the world.
Amen.
And all the confusion in there.
Amen.
Like we heard today, we are in the world, but we are not of the world.
Yes.
Jesus even prayed, Lord, that you will keep us in the world, but that you will make us reflect your glory, manifest your glory.
Amen.
So the world can see we are different. There's something different about us. We're not like everybody else. We don't just flow with the stream of the world. We stand out like a sore thumb. We speak up in a world of darkness. We are light and we are salt.
Yes.
Our faith in God continually distinguishes us.
Amen.
Father, I thank you.
Thank you.
I thank you, God. I pray for strength for everyone that is ailing today.
Amen.
Supernatural strength.
Amen.
Spiritual strength.
Amen.
Mental strength.
Amen.
Physical strength.
Amen.
Emotional strength. For everyone today. For everyone today. God, as you stir us up in the spirit, quicken them.
Amen.
Quicken them.
Amen.
Quicken them.
Amen.
We thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. You alone are deserving of our glory. You alone are deserving of our praise. Receive it to yourself. In Jesus' mighty name.